Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In The Now podcast channel. Joining us once again for the conversation, glad to welcome back on this Tuesday morning, Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, nice to be with you as always. Thank you for dropping by today and for spending some time with our listeners and their clients. Welcome back.
Thanks, Dan. Good to be back with you.
So, as always, Shane, a lot to catch up on. Timely today as we're speaking this morning. I know, reflecting back on markets yesterday, we do see it again in market activity this morning. There seems to be a lot of investor angst over uncertainty surrounding trade and tariffs being implemented by the Trump administration here in the U.S. to set the table for us. Are you able to provide a bit of an inventory in terms of what we know as of today and how those impacted trading partners potentially might respond to these developments?
Yeah, thanks, Dan. I think it's first to just kind of level set and say, you know, this will be a hallmark of the Trump presidency in his second term, just as it was to an extent in his first term, that, you know, trade is going to be kind of a sticking point, and there'll be some tension around it. You know, as we remember from his first term, he wasn't shy about threatening and sometimes putting in tariffs into place. And I think that is our expectation for these 4 years, but with a higher degree of intensiveness, you know, and more willingness to actually go through with implementing tariffs versus previously. I think, you know, some of these tariffs are purely negotiation, as we have seen previously, and some of them are really meant to go into place and put pressure on countries for a larger scale negotiation instead of something that can be resolved more quickly. And there's also that element that you're seeing Trump and his administration think of tariffs as kind of a new way to close the budget deficit. So I think this storyline is here and will continue to be here for 4 years. Now, start off with, you know, China. That is, you know, he has doubled the 10% tariffs to 20%. And China, of course, will respond as they traditionally do in these circumstances. And I think we're kind of awaiting that response. As regards to Mexico and Canada, these have been threatened. And, you know, as we saw yesterday, President Trump said they would go into place today, Tuesday, March 4th. And that's where we're at with that. And you see already both Mexico and Canada preparing their response. Canada is looking at tens of billions of dollars worth of tariffs on their goods going to the United States, and, you know, Mexico is still looking at their plan. But I think, you know, this is serious, but always keep in mind this is part of a broader negotiation strategy for Trump. And I think the volatility isn't going away for the next 4 years.
Well, Shane, thank you for that overview and that context. Very helpful as we're continuing to digest these headlines and developments surrounding tariffs. And as you pointed out, this seems like it will remain with us for quite some time. I want to shift over to geopolitics. I know this past Friday, Ukrainian President Zelensky was at the White House, where he was expected to sign an economic, a minerals agreement with the United States. As many of us perhaps witnessed real time, or at this point have heard, those plans did in fact fall through. So I'm curious as to what comes next as the U.S. and our European allies work towards a peace agreement between Ukraine and Russia to potentially end the conflict.
Yeah, that was quite a remarkable meeting to watch play out on Friday. And, you know, remember, Zelensky and Trump don't have a good relationship, and, you know, I don't think they ever will at this point. And, you know, Trump was expressing, you know, his frustrations, but also I think some of his frustration has always been that in his mind, European nations need to step up to the plate And so some of this was to elicit a reaction, which we are seeing, which is you're seeing European nations rally around Ukraine. And, you know, I think the minerals deal, you know, Friday afternoon felt like it was dead, but you're seeing overtures, I think, by both sides that, you know, the minerals deal still could be signed pretty quickly. So I think, you know, the relationship is strenuous between the U.S. and Ukraine, but there are still, you know, some glimmers of light. And I think, you know, both Trump and Zelensky do want to go forward with the minerals deal. It's, as Trump knows, it's critical to the future of our economy, having access to these critical minerals. So, and I think, you know, for Zelensky's part, you know, as good as pleased as he may be that the European nations are starting to lean in and support Ukraine, you know, he still needs the U.S. in the long run and wants to try and repair the relationship. So, you know, it's not going to be a great relationship, but maybe a working relationship will help be enough help for him. So, you know, obviously, the world, many in the world didn't feel good going to bed Friday night after seeing that. But I think, you know, you're seeing some signs of life here. And, you know, it may take a little bit longer for this relationship to be repaired. But I think when cooler heads prevail, it will be repaired.
It's interesting, Shane, as we're speaking at this point, we're just hours away from President Trump addressing a joint session of Congress, which will take place 9 p.m. Eastern this Tuesday evening. It is an unofficial State of the Union, so to speak. I suspect many of these themes we've already covered, whether it be trade, relations with Ukraine, geopolitics, will be addressed. Though, what do you anticipate the main messages, themes of the evening will consist of?
Yeah, I think President Trump is going to try and state out his vision to have a golden age for America. You've kind of heard Trump and others talk about this golden age and, you know, restoring America to kind of being the premier country in the world. And, you know, I think he'll lay out how he thinks the United States gets there, whether it be, you know, tax cuts, or, you know, immigration or trade, et cetera, that you mentioned. I think there are a number of topics. I will be very interested to see if he brings up Elon Musk and Doge and trying to make the case that, you know, a more efficient government will benefit the United States and its taxpayers. We'll keep an eye on that. I think, you know, him kind of laying out his foreign policy will be very important too, because he has a lot of skeptics at this moment. And it'll be very interesting to see how he talks about China and President Xi Jinping or Russia and Vladimir Putin versus some of our traditional allies like Canada or the UK. So this is going to be a very fascinating speech. The White House has informed news outlets that they don't expect the president to leave the Capitol until 11:20, and he's supposed to start at about 9:10. So I think we should be anticipating potentially the longest, you know, speech addressed to Congress that we've ever seen before. And that would be a very Trumpian thing, I think, for him to do. And I think with that in mind, he's going to try and cover a number of areas. So it'll be a very fascinating speech that I think is going to touch on a number of topics. But I think you're right where we're going to see key messages and themes that, you know, do talk about tariffs, tax cuts, and immigration, and a whole host of other issues.
Sounds like it will be a very comprehensive address. Certainly, to your point, Shane, a lot of ground that the president can cover. Sticking somewhat with Congress, reflecting on last week, I recall that House Republicans narrowly passed a budget resolution. Now, this is separate from a government funding bill, which Congress needs to pass by Friday, March 14th. So that's coming up very quickly in order to avoid a shutdown of the U.S. government. How is that looking at this point? And separate from that, what are some of these budget items in focus from Congress?
Yeah, that's right, Dan. There are a few budgetary items kind of floating around D.C. right now, which sometimes causes confusion. So it's good to take a moment and kind of peel the onion back. You know, first, your point, last week Congress passed a budget resolution, and the Senate the previous week passed their version. Now, a budget resolution is very important, but it's also noteworthy from the context of it's kind of an outline, if you will, right? The House and Senate take very different approaches. And, you know, I think what will happen now is when they reconcile those two resolutions, it will be very impactful because it will set the stage for Congress to act potentially pretty quickly in relation to a tax bill, immigration, energy, and a number of other policies. And this is important because the resolution unlocks the budget reconciliation process, which allows the Senate to pass a bill with a simple majority rather than the 60 votes that are traditionally needed. So we can expect a kind of a partisan package that is centered around the Trump agenda to be unlocked with a budget resolution. So, you know, I think March will be a month where the House and Senate reconcile the differences between their approaches in this budget resolution. And then once they are able to agree on that and both bodies pass it, they'll be able to move to the reconciliation bill, which will probably take, you know, 2 or 3 months. So this summer could see action on big pieces of the Trump agenda. At the same time, you're right, where next Friday government funding expires. And if a government funding bill is not passed, we could have a government shutdown. And we've seen government shutdowns before. They have an impact on the market, but it's really not a huge impact. I think while both sides want to avoid a government shutdown, the odds are increasing that there could be one. That's not to say there will be one. I think it's just there's so many things flying around, whether it be Doge and Elon Musk, other issues like healthcare, et cetera, that, you know, are all play into how this government funding bill comes into play. And if it kind of comes together, that, you know, there's some signs of skepticism if it'll happen. So, you know, we're keeping an eye on it. I think next week will be the real key week. I think this week there are talks to try and come up with a solution to a government funding bill, but I don't think it will either come together until next week. So we're keeping an eye on it. Flip of a coin at this moment if there will or won't be a government shutdown next Friday.
Well, Shane, this was a very helpful catch-up. You certainly covered a lot of ground top of mind for our listeners and clients. So thank you again for spending some time with us today, and will be interesting to see where we are next week with respect to the prospects for a government shutdown. So looking forward to catching up with you then.
Great. Looking forward to it, Dan. Have a great day.
Thank you, Shane. You as well. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. I do want to point our listeners, especially our clients of UBS, to the latest Washington Weekly publication, which can now be located up on ubs.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.